The following programming is sponsored by Amendment 16 Limited. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 175 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania and to relentlessly pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, even if you have to travel 300 miles to do it. And as you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, we focus on one of four different groups of people, either you, them, us, or me. Well, this is going to be an unusual episode because you may be able to tell from the tonal quality. We're sitting here in beautiful downtown Elwood City. We have here not just a you person, but also a them person. We have the resident leftist of the Pennsylvania Project, Bernie McCann, who's been submitting questions, I guess, since about episode 20. Bernie, welcome to the Pennsylvania Project.
Thanks, Ken. It's great to be here, and it's great to have you guys here.
It sure is. Man, oh man, Bernie, you've always been credited as our resident leftist because you're just so far left, sometimes I think you've just left the country.
No, I just, you know, I just believe that certain things should be done. I mean, I believe that certain things should be done about the assault weapons, and, you know, I every other country, I mean, I know you're going to quote statistics here, Ken.
Of
course. Every other country.
Facts are a tough thing, Barry.
But every other country that's banned assault weapons has managed to bring down the mass shootings, you know, except for us. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, that's not Pennsylvania. I'm not aware of what's going on in other countries. I don't have the statistics at hand, so I really can't address that. But what I can do is I could talk to you about what goes on here in America, because it doesn't really make any difference what goes on in Japan, which has a lot of knife fights, I hear,
yeah,
or in England. Question is, what about America? And I always point to the study done by John Lott, who is a researcher at the University of Chicago. He did a nationwide county-level study, and he found out all sorts of interesting things. He found out that if a woman resists an attacker, he found she's twice as likely to be seriously injured. Now, that's something we've known since the 70s. But he also found out that if a woman resists with a handgun, she's half as likely to be seriously injured. So from that, I draw the conclusion that handguns are a girl's best friend. Now, Bernie, what part of those statistics would you disagree with?
A handgun can fire, like, how many rounds per minute are we talking here, Ken? Like, one or two?
I don't know.
You know, compared to an assault rifle, which can fire up to 50 rounds a minute.
Bernie, you're changing the subject here. We're talking about John Lott and a woman protecting herself with a handgun.
Well, I agree that handguns should be legal. I don't have a problem with handguns.
Okay, so
what I have a problem
with. So that's a good start.
What I have a problem with is these people who want to dress up on the weekends and go out and shoot these assault rifles, you know? I mean, like the kind of thing that you did a while back.
Yeah, but that's right. I had a great time. I got to put in a plug for Front Sight Firearms Academy out in Pahrump, Nevada. Great place. I was like, the best story I like from there is the first day I was there, 7 o'clock in the morning, guy in the next car pulled out his AR, and next thing you know, there are two instructors on him. They got him by each one on the arm.
Wow.
The third one came up, took the gun away from him, says, "Dude, you just muzzled the entire parking lot."
Wow.
Yeah, so if that thing was accidentally loaded, accidentally went off, you could have killed somebody.
Yeah, of course.
So that's the kind of place this is. Very high on safety, very high with the guns as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I love doing that kind of stuff. But Bernie, it's not. The goal here is not to go out and on weekends and dress up and shoot down at the range. The goal is to defend yourself.
I know the goal is to defend yourself.
Well, how would you defend yourself if you don't have the...
You don't need that much firepower to defend yourself, Ken.
Who?
No civilian should have access to a gun that shoots 50 rounds a minute. I'm sorry, but...
Why not?
Because that's just insane.
Why? Why
because
is it insane?
That's why our kids are afraid to go to school. I mean, you say they're not.
No,
and you
I don't
say
know.
It was the same way back in the 60s about the nuclear drills and stuff like that, you know. But
kids,
but
I don't hear it. We have kids, we have grandkids. I don't hear any of that. I don't know where you're getting your facts from.
From the news. It's in the news all the time. You don't watch the news. It's in the news all the time.
What news? Are you talking like CNN, which is like all fake news?
Oh, come on. Where do you get the idea that CNN is fake news? Fox News is fake news.
They're both fake news.
No, they're not.
Sure they are. Of course people need the larger capacity guns. Because, Bernie, it's not a question of just self-defense. It's a question of defending the neighborhood as well. So it's not just me.
Come on, Ken.
What's that?
Imagine yourself in Philadelphia here for a minute.
Yeah.
Imagine yourself in Philadelphia here for a minute, okay?
All right.
You're living in North Philadelphia. You got a guy on your block who just went through a bad divorce, and he just happened to go to the zoo. Well, let me finish.
I grew up in North Philadelphia.
So did I. You know, Kensington.
K&A, man.
The drug capital of the world.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Still is.
Jesus Christ. But anyway, imagine you're living on this block with this guy, right? Now you're thinking about, geez, you know, I really need to go out to the supermarket and get something, but there was just this shooting, a mass shooting in a supermarket the other day, you know, and I know this guy is pretty unstable that just got this AR-15. Should I even go? Are you the libertarian who wants to be on that guy sitting in that block afraid to go out of his house?
Well, if you're the one who says this guy is unstable, then I would question you before I would question him.
Why?
Well, first of all, I'm an IT guy. I'm not a psychiatrist, so I can't make that call. All I know is that in Pennsylvania, Article 1, Section 21 of the Constitution says that the right to bear arms shall not be questioned. Now, if he goes and does something stupid with a gun, as part of his sentence, what I would do is I would give him a can't carry permit.
Okay.
Which means if we catch him with a gun, we throw his ass in jail.
All right.
So that's,
all right. So you're for some kind of gun control then.
Yeah, but only if you're an idiot with a gun. Like, if you go around shooting up the neighborhood, then, yeah, you know, the judge is going to say, listen, you're an idiot with a gun. We're going to give you a can't carry permit. If we catch you with a gun, we're going to throw your butt in jail. Absolutely. You have to wait for something to happen before you can do something. So, I mean, it's innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah,
right? So if you're just sitting around the house and somebody says, oh, I think that maybe I'm woke. Right, and I'll say, oh,
okay.
And I see you post something that I don't like, and I call the cops on you. That's not a reason to take away somebody's guns. If you're convicted in a court of law of doing something stupid with a gun, then as part of your sentence, we're going to give you a can't carry permit.
Permanent?
No, it could be.
Okay.
Nothing is permanent. You know, even back under the original common law, 7 years was the maximum that you could lock somebody up. But no, I wouldn't do it permanent.
Okay.
There you go. So I got you on the gun issue.
No, you didn't. Because the fact is that if the guy's walking around the neighborhood acting weird, and he's not the
weird
kind of
in
guy
whose
that,
opinion? Everybody's
on,
people call me weird.
I mean, if he's walking around the neighborhood talking to himself, you know?
We had a guy in our neighborhood doing that. So you got this weird guy walking around your block. Bernie, weird is a relative term. Anybody can be called weird.
I understand that, but should he have access to an AR-15?
Yes, absolutely. Why would you take it away from him?
Because he's probably going to do something with it.
What makes you think that?
Well, if he's going through a bad divorce, and his finances are all torn up or something like that, he's about to lose his home maybe, you know, and he goes out and he buys an AR-15, maybe he's going to scare some people on the block from wanting to go outside. And as a libertarian, you shouldn't be that kind of person. Sitting in your house afraid to go out.
No. If somebody's afraid to go out, they've got a problem. The problem is not the person who's got the gun. It's the person who's afraid to go out.
You know, but you're talking from the perspective of, I don't know anything about Mandalay Bay. I don't know anything about the school shootings in other states. I'm only concerned with Pennsylvania. I mean, so how can you even have a valid opinion about it when you're like that, you know?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I mean,
Bernie, there are always bad people in the world who are going to do bad things. Question is, what are you going to be doing about it? First thing is, you shouldn't be doing bad things to people who haven't done bad things. You're going to go in there and you're going to, take away somebody's gun just because you're a little bit worried? Bernie, you can't step in there because they have a right to defend themselves.
Not with 50 rounds a minute, Ken.
Why not?
Insane.
Why not?
Because it's insane. It's insane. It makes people afraid to go out to concerts. It makes people afraid to send their kids to school. Oh, yes, it does.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
if you have been watching the news, you would have known that what happened back in I think it was New Mexico.
I know that the news is terribly slanted, right? They make up stuff. I mean, look at the pandemic. There was no reason to shut down the whole world.
Sure,
now all of a sudden it's like monkeypox.
I know, but
monkeypox is not even dangerous. It's like getting sick, you know?
It's got nothing to do with the assault weapons ban that we're talking about. You know?
What ban?
I mean, the ban that I wish they would put in place. If I were king of the forest. You know, I just think it's... I just think having that a civilian having access to that kind of firepower is just no good. It's just not right,
I think it's necessary. There's all kinds of quotes you can do, like the Japanese emperor said, "I would never consider invading the United States because there would be a gun behind every blade of grass." And the CDC did all kinds of studies. President Obama, should be polite, he commissioned a study. And of course, the NRA people went nuts saying, you can't have the CDC doing that. That's the Center for Disease Control, and guns aren't a disease.
Yeah.
But the CDC, they did it anyway, and they found that there was no evidence that at these gun control laws did anything to end gun violence.
Well, I don't know what they were basing that on.
Go read the study. CDC, gun violence. Go read it. Google it.
I'll Google it.
They also found these gun buyback programs were worthless. And they also found that guns are used many, many more times defensively than offensively. So what came down is CDC agreed with John Lott right on down the line.
Well,
now, if you want to go look at their study and then come back, and we'll get you back on the air.
Okay.
All right. Enough for guns.
All right. Good.
Let's talk about Eric Gerhardt. All right. We had him on the show, last episode, the one before that? You listened to that?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of Eric?
Well,
he's the Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate, by the way.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania.
Right. I don't think that Eric's going to get many votes at all from even the Libertarians, because if you look at his social media page, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but he doesn't spell correctly. He has poor grammar. And, you know, he just reminds me of somebody who just wants to sit around in the barn and say, I'm running for, you know, Senate in Pennsylvania, and I want to do this triple tax cut for corporations. I mean, come on, that's just, what do you think corporations are going to do for people once they get their triple tax cut? Anything? Are they going to hire people with it?
Yeah, the same thing they're doing now. Bernie, that's what happened. I'm not a Trump fan, but when Trump did his big tax cut, all of a sudden, AT&T gave all of their employees a $2,000 bonus.
But, you know, I really think that the Reagan tax cuts killed the middle class. I really think it wiped it out, you know?
It was the other way around. It brought us the heyday of the 90s, the go-go 90s. That's when I was running my corporation, our heyday, and it was great. You know, tax rates are suddenly
28%.
35%. That was wonderful. Stimulated the economy and brought around the biggest boom we had for a while.
But where did all the money go? You know what I mean? We didn't get better public schools out of it. You know?
Bernie, you're changing the subject.
I'm not changing the subject. I mean,
we just said where the money went. Corporations were able to do more with them, so they were able to help people more, and we just had evidence that the different people got raises and bonuses and things like that. Why are you against raises and bonuses?
No, of course I'm not.
But, why are you complaining?
Because there's a one-time thing, and they're really not giving anybody that much. I mean, what's this? Pennies on the dollar. You know what I'm saying? You know? That's what they spend.
Yeah, you're doing cliches. That's what you're doing.
Well, I suppose. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's got no fact behind it. What are the facts? We just had some facts here. That companies were giving people bonuses and expanding their businesses, which is good. That means more people are working, more people are making more money. You seem to think corporations are evil.
Well, you know, I mean, look. I mean, look what they give you look what happens when you get sick and you're working for a company for 30 years, right? And you suddenly get sick and you go on their short or long-term disability plan, the insurance rates go through the roof.
What a nice corporation to give you that short and long-term disability.
Well, when I was working for, I was working for somebody. I think it was, I was working for IBM in Austin as a technical writer. And my insurance was $1,980 a month. They were gouging me because I had a pre-existing condition. And that was Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas, you know?
Okay, so what do you want them to do? Do you want them to lose money on you?
What do you mean lose money on me? I don't want them to drive me into bankruptcy.
Was that a yes or a no?
That's a no. I mean, I...
Bernie!
Bernie,
I held an agent license for 12 years.
I know you did. I know you sold insurance.
So I didn't sell insurance. I did presentations on insurance.
Oh, okay.
But in Pennsylvania, in order to talk about insurance, you have to have a license.
Okay.
So I got myself that license so I could talk about it.
All right.
But so I know something about it. Plus, I've done a lot in the IT business. I did work for Blue Cross of Delaware, for Blue Cross in Pennsylvania, for a lot of pharmaceutical work.
I worked for Allstate.
And I'm telling you, these people, they have actuarials. They say, actuaries are going to say, this is how long somebody's going to live. This is the average chance of somebody getting sick. And they put their rates based upon that. If they don't base it on that, they go out of business. They go bankrupt.
What's wrong with that? You know?
There's no insurance.
Who's better going bankrupt, the company or the man?
It's not an either-or question. If you don't have insurance, life's terrible without insurance. The example that I mentioned before, the one where the insurance company, I got a x-ray, shoulder x-ray.
Yeah.
And it was like $1,200 for the x-ray. But the insurance company negotiated a rate with the hospital, and all I had to pay was $38 against my deductible.
Well, that's a good deal, but that's not very common, you know.
It's all through the insurance industry, Bernie. And I get it on my dental, everything.
I hardly got anything for my $1,980 family plan when I was working for down there, you know.
Well,
I
mean, you know, the problem with insurance is that it's run lock, stock, and barrel by the government. Way too expensive. Obamacare killed the whole medical industry.
I thought Obamacare was supposed to open up the marketplace.
It went the opposite way. Bernie, I've been working for myself since the 80s. And for me and the wife and the family, we were paying about $400 a month for medical insurance.
That's not bad.
No, that was actually pretty good. And it got up to around $500, $600. And then Obamacare came in. All of a sudden, it shot up to $1,200, $1,300 a month.
Holy cow.
Where it is right now, I just went on to Medicare. So I'm not paying the market rate anymore.
Okay.
But that was 2 years ago, and for Roberta and I, just no kids, me and the wife,
yeah,
catastrophic level insurance, we were paying $1,500 a month.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And now, even just for her alone, I'm paying over $800 a month. I can't wait until she gets to the socialism age and can get the Medicare Advantage plans. Socialism is great when it's on your side.
It is. There's nothing wrong with it, you know.
No.
I mean, I don't pay a thing. I go to the pharmacy, I get my drugs for free, and I get, you know, if I have to have a surgery, it's free, you know. And
it's not
all
free.
The aftercare is...
It's not free.
I understand that it's not
free,
but it's
all
paid for.
Do you know
how
big the national debt is? Oh, we're not talking Pennsylvania now.
Yeah, all right. That's
inflation. I mean, that's what happened with Trump bucks when he's handing out $600 a week to everybody.
Yeah.
First thing I thought is, man, inflation's going to be rearing its ugly head in about 2 years. And here it is 2 years later, and guess what?
Yeah.
Paying the price.
Yeah.
You can't go doing that kind of stuff. All right, let's shift subjects.
Okay.
We already talked about Trump, gas prices, guns, reparation for blacks. There you go.
Yes.
Why don't you start off with that? Bernie, what's this idea you have?
I believe that the black community is owed reparations because of their many contracts with the U.S. government that were broken. You know, like the veterans who came back from, the black veterans who came back from World War II, and they were offered like all these great housing loans, VA loans, and all this kind of stuff. And they didn't get it because the banks were discriminating against them. So only 2% of the people who applied got it. You know, and I mean, I'm sorry, but those families that went to war, to have that kind of benefit, and for the government to break that contract with them, or even individual banks to be allowed to do that, those people are owed reparations. That was a legal contract.
Well, I agree that, well, take a step back. First of all, anything that the government passes a law, they could change that law, so it's not a contract. Contracts are something different. That's between two private individuals.
Okay.
So, for example, Social Security. They could change that law tomorrow, no matter how much money you put into it, gone.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, so there's the whole contract thing doesn't hold water. First of all, I think that veterans should be treated very, very well. I agree with that. But and if they weren't, well, we ought to follow up with that. The question is, why reparations? Why do you think blacks deserve? Why do you think anybody?
You don't think
deserves,
it costs them anything? You don't think that costs them anything?
Do you always answer not questions with questions?
Not being able to buy a house, you know, when you come out of the army and you're guaranteed that kind of thing.
They do
and
buy.
You don't think,
everybody buys houses.
I'm talking about World War II here. You know, the blacks in World War II.
Okay, that was, what, 70 years ago.
So why aren't their families owed reparations for all that economic loss?
90
you know
years
what I'm
ago.
Saying? All that investment that they could have
well,
had.
Bernie, somebody who's been persecuting any particular group of people for the last 100 years, that has to be a lot older than I am. So why should I be paying reparations?
Because it moves from generation to generation. You know that the black community is the poorest.
I thought you can't visit the sins of the father upon the son.
What does that have to do with anything? I mean, what are you talking about here?
Everybody's been mistreated by the government at some point or by their neighbor at some point. The question is, why should I be paying for those sins?
Because I think we were all involved in it, if you want the truth.
Anybody who got persecuted in World War II, that's before I was born, Bernie. Why should I be paying for something that happened back
it
then?
It traveled into the 60s, you know, this whole idea of the blacks having to fight for the rights to vote and all this kind of...
I was there. I was one of the ones marching. What about yeah. the, I'm a geek. Geeks have always been persecuted.
Yeah, well, that's you deserve true. It. You're always screwing up software, you know.
That's
people can
true.
Never get anything done.
That's true. I've done some fun software, man. I did the floor trading system for the Philadelphia Stock Exchange.
Wow.
Yeah, billions of dollars went through my software, man.
Wow.
It was a blast.
Wow.
I enjoyed that. Anyway, so I've paid back and then some already.
Okay.
So much for reparations.
All right.
Otherwise, we all get them. What else do we have here? Statues.
No, I don't want to do statues.
You don't want to do statues, Bernie?
No,
that's because I answered that one real well.
Well.
So let me shift the subject a bit. Bernie, you've been around Pennsylvania Project for 150 episodes.
What a long time.
What do you think of the Pennsylvania Project?
I like the exchange of ideas. I like the guests you have on, you know. I wished you could have gotten Joe Jorgensen on, you know, and I wish you could have gotten Mehmet Oz on, you know.
Well, he's not answering our emails. He's not answering our phone calls.
I know he's not, but I mean, I wish you could get him on there.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah. He could use those votes, you know, I mean, from your base, but... And you have a decidedly conservative base, I think. Libertarians, to me, are probably the most far-right-wing party that's out there.
No. See, because it's not a left-right. It's a diamond, right? There's the left point of the diamond is definitely the left. Right point is definitely the right. But the top is libertarian, and the bottom is authoritarian. That diamond is graded in personal freedom on one side and economic freedom on the other side.
Okay.
So people who believe in a high degree of personal freedom but a low degree of economic freedom, that puts them on the left. People who agree with a high degree of economic freedom but a low degree of personal freedom, that puts them on the right.
Right. Yeah, I understand.
But we libertarians, we believe in personal freedom and economic freedom. So that puts us at the top. And there are people who don't believe in either one, that puts them at the bottom.
Right? Yeah.
So we're not conservative. Conservatives agree with us on economic issues. Liberals agree with us on personal issues. We're the best of both worlds, Libertarian Party.
I agree.
There you go. You have any suggestions to improve the Pennsylvania Project?
I would do some more shows out of the studio and on the street and maybe interview
like,
some
like
people.
Like this one?
Talk to some people that, you know, are attending a rally or something like that for some cause and find out how many of them, what they think of the Libertarian Party.
Uh-huh. That's,
you know?
That's a good idea. Do you know what? The next show, the one after that, we're going to be doing it from the Philadelphia Folk Festival again.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great.
The last one was really good. I've got line in there for press credentials, so
wow.
It's going to be a good one.
That's great.
Right. Anything else you want to add? What shows did you enjoy?
I enjoyed your show with Eric. I enjoyed your show with the sex workers, of course, because, well, I mean, they have an interesting profession. You know, you can't beat it.
That's true.
And I enjoyed your talks about the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, those are my favorite shows, I would say.
That's cool. You know. Any suggestions for improving besides?
For improving the Pennsylvania Project, yeah, besides going to rallies?
Yeah.
I would say try to get a hold of more libertarians who are higher up in the party. And, you know, this guy, Eric, just doesn't seem like a serious candidate to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's got to be somebody else.
You know, he ran for president.
He did?
Yeah.
Hmm. I wonder how much he pulled down as far as votes go.
Well, he said he was on the ballot. I think I forget how many states. 27? I forget.
Huh.
Yeah. No, he's a go-getter.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, if he can't spell, well, he'll have somebody to spell for him.
I hope so. It looks awful on this Facebook page.
All right, Bernie, we're going to have to rack this up here. Any final comments on anything at all?
You're wrong about everything.
Well, if I am, that's a good thing, because that way I can correct myself and I can get better.
I suppose.
That's why I'm a Toastmaster, too.
Yeah.
On that note, let me thank Bernie McCann for dropping in. And
thank you.
I dropped in on you.
Okay. Was it a good episode?
We'll see. And that's going to wrap it up for episode 175 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about our resident leftist, Bernie McCann, or anything somewhat Pennsylvania-related? If you have something to say, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live in Bernie McCann's dining room in bucolic Elwood City in western Pennsylvania, and broadcasting on WWDB Radio in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 4 p.m., among other times. Our webmaster, Stephen Worley, official bartender, Tom Kehoe, keyboard wizard, Joe the Pag, radio producer, Wes Wagner, and me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, even if you're a leftist.